Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Number 18. We are ready for the 18th manifestation of human sinfulness, found in the list of 19 in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And number 18 is more than one word. It is actually a short phrase, but it probably describes the world in which we live as much as any of the phrases that we have seen up until this time. And I'm sure you will no doubt agree with that. Because number 18 is lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure or pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, doesn't that describe the world in which we live? The reason why so many are not committed to the Lord Jesus Christ is for this very simple reason, that they love their pleasures, their sinful pleasures, more than they love God. And so we are coming to item number 18 in this list that gives us real insight into the depths of the heart of fallen man. So please join me on this Thursday, March 31, as we continue this study. And will you consider a financial gift to help us maintain this Bible teaching ministry on this and other stations? Know this, in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. There it is. I don't know if this one needs a great deal of explanation or not. Four words, actually, in the Greek language. Unlike most of these characteristics, which are only one word, though most of them are compound words, but four words to make up this phrase, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It could be translated a little more concisely, pleasure lovers rather than God lovers. But any way you look at it, it comes out to mean exactly the same thing. Let me read what some other commentators have said about this particular phrase. One said, and I quote, "This does not suggest that we must choose between pleasure and God, for when we live for God, we enjoy the greatest pleasures. The choice is between loving pleasure or loving God. If we love God, we will also enjoy fullness of life here and forever, but the pleasures of sin last only for a brief time," end quote. Well, that's a very helpful and concise statement. And here's what another commentator said. He said, quote, "They are pleasure-loving rather than or more than God-loving." This definitely does not mean that they also love God to some extent. It means that they do not love God at all. Not only does one find these people outside the church, they have infiltrated the church. And even should they be excommunicated, they will still pretend to be eminent Christians. End quote. Yes, there are many within our churches. There are many professing Christians who, with their lips, say that they believe in Jesus Christ, they love Jesus Christ, which is another way of saying they love God, that's what they say, but their lives indicate that they love pleasure more than they love God. They love pleasure more than they say they love God. And what God's Word is teaching us is, When you love pleasure more than God, you're only kidding yourself when you say that you love God. If you love anything more than you love God, you don't really love God at all, because God doesn't allow any rivals. What's the first of the two great commandments? Jesus told us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength means one thing very simply and obviously, that is that you love God more than anything or anyone else. It is a high standard. It is, frankly, an impossible standard except by the work of the Spirit of God within your heart and the empowerment of the indwelling Holy Spirit within the lives of God's children, and it still becomes an elusive goal to truly love God with all your heart. But this much is clear: if you love something or someone else more than God, then you aren't even trying. You aren't even moving toward the goal. You aren't even coming close. You are falling so far short that it probably can accurately be said you really don't love God at all. No man can serve two masters, said Jesus. Either he will love the one and despise the other, he will hate the one, forget the phrase now, but will not follow the other. You cannot serve, said Jesus in this place, you cannot serve God and mammon, that is material things. You can't serve God and material things. Many a church member, many a professing Christian has kidded himself into thinking he can. I can serve material things and devote an awful lot of time and attention and energy toward that, really far more than I devote toward God, but that doesn't mean that I don't love God and I'm not serving God. Jesus said it does. He said you can't serve God and mammon. One has got to be first. One is first. The question is, which is it? God or mammon? If it's not God, it's mammon. If it's mammon, it's not God. It's as simple as that. And so, fondness of pleasure is the antithesis of being a lover of God. Lovers of pleasure destroys the love of God. Not being restrained or disciplined in the use of pleasure destroys the love of God. Men who claim to love God but actually love pleasure more indicate that in many ways. And there are certainly expressions of Christianity, expressions of religion that will cater to this very desire. And so we will find entertainment-oriented religion that caters to those people who are what? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. If that's the way people are, then let's give them pleasure and do it in such a way that we draw them into the worship of God. Would that it worked that way, but what it actually ends up doing is fooling people into thinking that they love God when they are actually attracted to the entertainment, because what they really are is lovers of pleasure. So give them pleasure, pleasure that is thinly disguised as church and as religion, as God-centered, but give them pleasure, give them the kind of entertainment which they enjoy, give them the kind of music which they enjoy, give them the kind of atmosphere which they enjoy, give them basically a nightclub atmosphere without the raunchiest aspects of it, but with a lot of the aspects of it which they enjoy because they are lovers of pleasure. Give them that. Call it church. Say that you are being seeker-friendly. Say that you are being contemporary to reach the contemporary world. Say all those things and convince yourself that that's what you're doing, but probably what you are really doing is catering to this basic characteristic of fallen sons of Adam, and you are encouraging unregenerate people to think that they are regenerated, and you are encouraging God's true children to be carnally minded rather than spiritually minded. It is true that most people find the Bible pretty dull and find religion, that is true biblical religion, pretty dull, find long Bible sermons pretty dull, and find long prayers pretty dull, and find traditional church music pretty dull. Most people do find that to be so. So what's the answer? On the one hand, you've got people who say the answer is liven up the church. Make the music appealing to the sinful heart of man. That's not the way it's put, but that's really what it usually boils down to. Make the sermons appealing to carnally minded men. Make every element of the service appealing to carnally minded men. Do away with the church atmosphere, the appearance of church, the sound of church, the look of church. Make it more like something that is entertaining. And that'll bring them in. No doubt it will. Because men are, by fallen human nature, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's why billions are spent on entertainment. Much more money is spent on sports and hobbies and recreation than is ever spent on the work of God. And people with this mindset often complain about the church always asking for money. I don't hear them complaining about athletic teams always asking for money. They do, and everybody knows that. But nobody seems to complain about that. My daughter went to a basketball game of a major university in our area recently, got inexpensive tickets that were, I think, $60 apiece. Could have spent a lot more than that. That was to sit in the to sit in the crunch section. $60 a piece for a ticket. She didn't complain about it either. At least not to me. I didn't hear her complaining about it. And evidently nobody else did either. The place was packed full of people who had paid $60 and more for a ticket. Thousands of people there who did that weren't complaining a bit. Because that's entertainment. They love that. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's the manifestation of the sinful heart. You're right. People don't like church in its biblical form unless they have been regenerated by the Spirit of God. And then, surprise, 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 they like the Bible. They like to pray. They like to sing hymns that give glory to God. They like to give to the work of God. They don't resent the church passing the plate and asking voluntarily for tithes and offerings to support the work of God. And they don't consider that an imposition, and they don't think the church is always begging for money. Their whole mindset changes when God has changed their hearts. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.